Hi, welcome to Microsoft Ready. I'm Mark Rideout. Today we're going to be talking about building applications, designing applications for the Surface Hub, as well as deploying those applications into the store, and then also managing those applications through manageability tools on Surface Hub. There's a few people presenting with me. We also have Bernardo and Jordan who will be going through those other topics. I'll also give you an overview of the device itself. That way, if you're not familiar with Surface Hub, you get a little bit of a teaser of what the device is about. Some takeaways. First, you got to understand that you have to intentionally design to have a great application experience for Surface Hub. So I want you to understand that and have that as a takeaway. Also, understand how to build and how the Windows Store can be a great place for that opportunity to deploy your applications. And then how you work with your device, the Surface Hub, in the enterprise environment and deploying those applications. So let's get into what the Surface Hub is about. First off, behind me, I have a Surface Hub 55-inch. We also have an 84-inch Surface Hub. This device is all about having a great experience with touch and about collaboration. We have a tagline, unlock the power of a group. Surface Hub is about being in the best in class for VTC and bringing people together for brainstorming. It's also about changing the way meetings are done to whether it's a meeting of a conference room or the meeting that might be in a team setting or even in a huddle space, making those be more productive and more engaging meetings. Third, it's about being a showcase. The Surface Hub is about a showcase for these large screen experiences. You can imagine an 84-inch here, it's huge, and it can be a great experience. I like the phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. Well, with a screen that size, it can be a great showcase, but you have to have good design. Last, we're really about replacing the passive screens, the projectors, the TVs, with a device that's all about that engagement, about being up close and collaborative. So I'm gonna highlight a few of the details of this device. There's a lot of sensors. If it's a best-in-class VTC device, well, it's gotta have great cameras. The Surface Hub has two great cameras. It also has a mic array. The device comes with two pens and supports 100 points of touch. There's a lot of other unique aspects of and sensors of the device. But I want to highlight a little bit of the OS experience. So I'm going to switch over to the OS. First off, we have our welcome screen. Our welcome screen is highlighting a quick one-touch activation to either get into a meeting, start to be productive. And so we highlight what meetings are available. These meetings come through Skype for Business. We also have we have a button for Skype because a lot of people just want to walk up and make a call. We have a button for whiteboard. We find that doing a whiteboard and having a whiteboard is a great experience because a lot of collaboration happens around the whiteboard. And then last, it's a Connect experience. Connect is about bringing in content from another device and projecting it on this screen. When that happens, you're able to use touch and ink on this display back at your device. So I'm gonna go ahead and dismiss welcome. So I'm gonna highlight our start menu here. It replicates those four main functions here, but we also have all the applications that you have pinned here, and we have access to the Windows 10 ecosystem of apps. So an administrator can go to the store and download an app for the Surface Hub. And have that and make that available for your enterprise and for your team space. Since I'm going to be talking next about designing applications for the Surface Hub, I'm going to use this device to actually deploy applications in development mode. So one of the things that you need to do is have a device in developer unlocked mode. Similar to how this would be on your Windows 10 machine, it's in the Settings app. Now, one of the things about the Surface Hub, it's an enterprise all-in-one, and it has some locked-down characteristics. This is important because if I'm going to have a meeting and I do things in that meeting and then I'm done with that meeting and the next person comes in, we don't want that next person to have a bad experience just because I did something. So a lot of settings are locked down. So I'm going to go ahead and type in the admin password and get into the settings app. All right, so inside the settings app, you'll see it has a similar layout with fewer options than what you might have on your Windows 10 PC. But here in the settings app, I can go ahead and go to the developer option here and go ahead and enable developer mode. Now, I did already do that for this device. That way you don't have to see me go through that. One of the nice things about being in developer unlocked mode is that we go ahead and do a watermark on the welcome screen that first off tells everyone that it's unlocked for development. And also it is able to highlight the IP address, which is really important when you go and try and develop and deploy applications to the Surface Hub. All right, let's go ahead and switch over to what do you need to really do when designing for Surface Hub, designing those applications? Well, first off, designing for your applications, there's a few things before we begin that I want to highlight. First off, the Surface Hub only runs Windows.Universal applications. This is important because you might be thinking, well, hey, let me build a Win32 application and deploy that. So I want to set that context first. So when you are building, to go ahead and target Windows.Universal. We don't support UWP applications that are packaged Win32 apps either. So if you're familiar with something that we've recently announced, is about packaging those Win32 apps into a UWP. Those are not supported because that's really just a packaging model. It doesn't change the fact that that Win32 app is still running on the device. So target Windows.Universal UWP application. And then the other thing to think of before you start developing is an important thing that I briefly highlighted about how the device cleans up after one meeting so that the next person has a great experience. We call this session and session cleanup. What it means for your application is important when a user is trying to go ahead and use your application and store and create files. If they store and create those files on the device, as soon as they're done with that meeting, that user is done with that meeting, those files are wiped away. They're cleaned off. They aren't there for that user to come back to. So do consider your design and consider how you can have your application store its content in the cloud. Have those options available to the user will make the user have a great experience with your application. The other thing to think of is because each time this session starts up for the new meeting, the app really thinks it's being run for the first time. So if you have like a first run experience, go ahead and suppress that when running on a Surface Hub because you don't want that, you know, every single time your app starts, have that kind of, here's how you do this. It will start to get annoying over time. So consider that as well. All right, let's get into some of the specifics of designing for a large screen. I want to highlight and set the stage for what I call consumptions and interaction zones. The 1 foot experience on the left side, it's about those people that are up at the device. They have a pen, they're interacting with touch. This is a consumption mode that we want to be more of an interaction mode. And that will be the focus of my talk. But we also know that because of Surface Hubs in conference rooms and in other settings, it gets to be more of a 10-foot experience because you could be around a conference room table using a mouse or keyboard. And that's a different interaction and consumption zones. You could design, and you should design your applications to make sure you're aware of these zones, But the point of today's talk is really about that 1 foot interaction and consumption zone. So what do you need to do when designing for Surface Hub? First off, it's about pen and touch. Making sure that anytime that keyboard's on the screen, that is an experience that's less than optimal for your users. So consider where you might require any sort of text entry and use a different input method for that would support pen. The other thing, when you're up at this device, the actual brightness is really, it's bright. So consider using a darker or muted colors in your application, because just a bright screen over time in that posture of being at the device will start to become a little bit too much. On the topic of posture and on the topic of user context, if you know the user is using touch and you know the user is using pen, you also can detect when the user is using mouse and keyboard. Consider these as two different postures, and you can go ahead and scale your applications as necessary when using a mouse or keyboard. Last, and the topic I'll talk about next, is scaling. When you develop and your application is running on a huge screen, the scale of content is huge as well. So how do you have a great experience for your users so that the content is really reachable and it's consumable? So one thing to note is that when your app runs on the Surface Hub, it automatically scales to fit the screen. So that scaling, well, your app might feel great and be quite usable on a PC where it's in a window and it's a small size. Well, when you run it on a Surface Hub, it's going to be huge and it's going to scale to fit the screen. So the location of those controls will be more difficult if you don't think about the placement. I don't want to have to walk all the way over to one side of the screen to complete a task that started on the other side of the screen. Also, on an 84-inch, the height of the 84-inch and the width of the 84-inch starts to become something where you don't want users to always have to go to the top of the screen to do a really common action. Consider trying to make your controls and your commands in a more reachable location. And then last is this concept of cone of awareness. With an 84-inch screen, if I'm up here at the device and I'm doing something here and a notification occurs in the lower right corner, that might be hard for me to actually recognize because it's out of my cone of awareness. So those are some things to think about when it comes to layout. But let's get into actually building an application. So let's get into some demos here. I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio, and I'm just going to run this application. This application is called Design Firm. It's basically an app that I built that allows me to see some furniture and some different textures and see if it's something that my design firm would think it's cool. You know, it supports touch. But it's really, I really thought about it with mouse and keyboard. So I can use my mouse, I can go ahead and cycle through. I can say, hey, I like that floor there. I can heart that. It's great. When I was developing this, I was developing this on a PC. I didn't even think about touch. I didn't think about pen. So I have to intentionally design for these other interaction modes. Luckily, the flip view, the XAML flip view, automatically supports touch. So on my Surface Pro here with touchscreen, I can use touch to flip through there. But with my pen doesn't work. Why is that? Well, I have to intentionally design for ink. Well, let's do that. What does that look like to intentionally design for ink? First off, I'm going to go into my page here. A little bit of a highlight the layout of my application. Like I mentioned, it's a XAML app, a UWP application, and there's a window, a frame, and a page. And inside that page, there's this flip view that we flip through the images. In that XAML, the page for each of the items in the flip view, there is a data template. And that data template just says, use these visuals for displaying this item. In here, I'm just going to do a simple add an ink canvas. Ink canvas, once I do that and go ahead and run this, I want you to see what happens. I got my Surface pen ready. When this comes up on the screen, I want to show how one intentional change allows me to have ink. There you go. Adding and using the ink canvas and unlocking the power of the ink canvas in your applications can be a quick way to add ink and inking capabilities to your app. So that's great. Now let's go ahead and talk about scale. What I want to do is now deploy my application to the Surface Hub. So I already have the remote machine and that IP address set up in my project, the IP address that I was able to get from the device. And I'm going to go ahead and deploy the application to the Surface Hub, and I'm going to switch over to the Surface Hub, and I want you to see the app start up. And I want you to notice what has changed. Well, first off, the scale. I mentioned that it fills the screen, right? So now this app fills the entire screen. This image is stretching to fill that entire screen. That could be quite frustrating. On the plus side, it supports touch beautifully. It supports ink beautifully. But if I have to do a lot of work in here, and my application has this hamburger button menu up here that allows me to switch through different areas that I'm interested in seeing designs for, if I have to constantly walk over here, click on this menu, and drop that down every single time I'm switching, it could be quite cumbersome. Also, I don't really need to have this image fit this entire screen just to know that I like a design, like a couch. So try and figure out, when you're designing your application, what is that sweet spot of your content? The content is the most important aspect of your application. And so you don't want it to be way too large where users cannot really bring it in and understand it. So what are some changes I can do? You go ahead and if you're familiar again with adaptive layouts, you use a state trigger to switch between one layout and another. But since I want to start to develop towards a device family adaptive layout, I need to create a trigger that looks at the device family. So I went ahead and created one here, device family state trigger. It's pretty simple. All it does is it returns true when the device family equals the target family that I'm looking at. And so in my main page, in my visual state group, my VSM state group that has this trigger, I am referring to the device family state trigger and windows.team. And then I set a few, I make some changes to the layout of my application when this state trigger returns true, or when it's running on windows.team, which is the device family for the Surface Hub. So I'm going to go ahead and send this over to the Surface Hub. While that's loading and deploying over there, I want to highlight a few things I did. I automatically changed some of the menu options. That's that context menu that's over on the hamburger button that's over on the left side. I also changed some margins as well. So let's switch over. So here's the app running now on the Surface Hub. And you can see this menu's always open. The other thing I did was I brought the content into the middle. This is my most important aspect of my app is the content. So I brought it in here in the center. Obviously, it still supports touch and pen and all that stuff. But just a few changes by looking at the device family allows me to have a great adaptive layout. Which it starts to get us a great design for Surface Hub. Now, one of the things I like to do is I don't always have a Surface Hub in my development area. So I like to develop locally. And how do we do that? So Visual Studio has the concept of a simulator. And we support a simulator for the Surface Hub. So I went ahead and set up my simulator, and I'm going to go ahead and run this simulator, run my app in the simulator. Why don't you see what it looks like? So this is a simulator, and here's the app loading up. All right, great. This is exactly what I want. I see that the app scales to fit the simulator. This simulator is representing a 55-inch Surface Hub. So you kind of have to imagine the scale of the screen size, but it scales, in this case, it scales your app down to the simulator size. It supports touch. It supports inking. But one thing to note that's already changed from what we just deployed to the Surface Hub. You remember we had this menu open over here, and we had the content pushed into the center. Why isn't it showing up here? Well, the difference is that this is a simulator, and it only simulates the environment, but it doesn't emulate a device family. And this is a key thing to think about when developing and using the simulator, is that you cannot use techniques that rely on emulation or emulating the device family. So I'll show you a technique that I use to still get around that when I'm trying to do local development through the simulator. So I'm going back to the device family state trigger that I created for doing that adaptive layout. So since I have to look at the simulator and the emulator not emulating the device family, I'm going to modify my device family state trigger that I used to switch the adaptive layout. Instead of only looking at the device family, I'm going to go ahead and use a technique that I use, which uses a debug build flag. And that debug build flag, I basically call force surface hub. What I do here is when I am forcing this to use a surface hub layout, then I have a build configuration that says, yes, enable this and force that force the layout for surface hub. Basically, it's a simple way of updating your layout and forcing that. What I did for myself is I have, like I mentioned, a debug configuration that basically sets that compiler flag to true. Now I'm going to go ahead and deploy this to my simulator again with that force surface hub flag set to true. And you'll see the simulator start up again with the changes. So with this technique, it's an easy way of developing locally using the simulator, but still getting the experience that you're trying to strive for. So using that debug flag. I'll use that technique in a few other cases in the next demo. All right, so there's another way of doing adaptive layouts. This next way of doing adaptive layouts does require an actual device. Unfortunately, on the plus side, this adaptive layout technique is great when you have a different view than your code behind. So it's a feature that's it's available for Visual Studio and allows me to go ahead and say, let me take a XAML page with just the visuals, the same code behind, and say that run this set of visuals, run this page when running on a device family. So it does require a unique naming scheme. You see I have mainpage.devicefamily-team.xaml. So this pairs with my other main page, but that devicefamily-teams, that's highlighting the Surface Hub. The Teams is what we call the OS version, but the device, the hardware, is the Surface Hub. So now that I've done that, I'm going to go ahead and switch this over to deploy this on the Surface Hub. while this is deploying, one of the things I want to highlight is the beauty of having a standalone XAML page is that my designer said, hey, let's go ahead and make a few changes to the layout, and this still uses the same code behind, but let's just see if we can adapt the layout for Surface Hub. You'll see the app start back up here. And again, this is the XAML page using the XAML layout that my designer gave me. The change here is very, very minor, and I'll tell you why. So my designer, she said, I love the Surface Hub, and there's a lot of cool things I think we can do here. But it requires a change in the actual code behind. What she did for this page, she went ahead and removed the text box. You remember I mentioned how a great design for your application is to not have the keyboard come up on the screen, but to rely on touch and pen. So my designer removed the text box that was down here, basically to say, hey, this is all about using ink, this is all about using touch, and not even having a spot for the keyboard to ever appear. That's great, but she's like, I want to really make this even better, but it does require changes in the code behind. So how would we do that? Well, you remember I mentioned that the layout of my application is a window, and then from a window to a frame, and a frame to a page. So what we can do actually is navigate to a different page when running on Surface Hub. Well, we would do that navigation change inside the application.xaml.cs file. So I'm going to go ahead and comment out going to the default page, and I'm going to uncomment the change that allows me to go to a unique page for Surface Hub. That's it. I'm going to go ahead and deploy this back out to the Surface Hub, and I want to highlight just some of the cool things that my designer came up with. All right, this is not like what we had previously. This is a brand new, unique experience that has a 3D carousel control allowing me to flip through images and still supports pen, which is great, great experience. But even to go to the user context and user postures, there has been a change. She said, hey, I can detect when there's another pen being used, and I can do something unique in this case. So now when another pen is identified, we go ahead and we move the like and dislike controls so that it's near that person. So that way, the person can say, I like that one. And maybe this person over on this side can say, oh, I don't like that one. You also notice that each pen has a unique color, which is different than what we had previously. So there's a lot of good things you can do with ink, touch, and pen. And when you do that, it's best to navigate to another page if your code behind is really drastically different than what you had previously. But I want to show something else. So this is one of the things that's important with adaptive layouts, and it's true when designing for Surface Hub, is that when I am using the application and that application is being run on my Windows 10 device, I want a great experience as well. And I don't want the experience to feel like it's different. I don't want it to affect my experience. So I'm just going to run this back on my Windows 10 PC, on my local machine. I'm going to start this up. And what you'll notice here is that the application opens up, looks just like it did when we started. It has it can support mouse, touch, and keyboard. That same executable, when running on Surface Hub, runs one way, but when it's running on my Windows 10 PC, runs a different way. That's a concept of adaptive layouts. So in summary, some things to think about You have to intentionally design for Surface Hub by looking at pen and touch, by looking at the scale of your application and the location of those buttons to make sure it's in a reasonable spot. And then last is to use those concepts of adaptive layouts so that it runs great on Surface Hub and runs just as good on another Windows 10 device, but it adapts and it has the best experience on all those devices. So in some resources that are helpful for you to take away is looking at how to do adaptive layouts. So I have a link to the documentation in MSDN on using that. Also a link on setting up your simulator so that it simulates the Surface Hub environment. Last, I recommend looking at some of the previous Channel 9 presentations and looking at the resources that we have available on Channel 9. Next up, I'll have Bernardo talk about using your apps in the Windows Store.
Hi everyone, I'm Bernardo Zamora. I work in the Universal Store. And today I'm going to continue what you heard before, which is taking an app that you want to deploy to the Surface, and I'll walk you through the through what can you do with that app to just get it into the store, how do you actually deploy it to a Surface Hub, and find out what else can you do with the tools that we have to help you deploy these apps. So just a little bit of context. The Windows Store is the place where all the apps and games live. Those are the apps and games that consumers and companies can get, can install on their devices. So as you can see in the screen, we have the same store running on PC, on a tablet, on a Windows Phone, Xbox One, HoloLens, and there's also the store running on Surface Hub. Each of those, of course, adapts to what each of the users will see. For example, in the case of Surface Hub on the screen, you'll see that it has less games, it's more focused on productivity, so that store shows more of those apps first. In the case of Xbox, more games show up first. And the store has been used more and more by consumers. We have billions of people watching and seeing those apps in the store every month. We have more than 500 million visitors in the consumer stores, and the growth of that store is just doubling just in the case of in-app purchase. So that's just the consumer store. Most of you will also want to learn about the business store, and I'll talk about it today, and that's the mechanism we use to deploy apps to businesses. So in summary, what is the process to take an existing app and make it appear in a Server Hub or in the store? First step is you need a DevCenter account to be able to manage all your apps and manage all your account and payments and submissions. Then you have to deploy and configure a single app, the app you're building. And then it will show up in the consumer store, as you see here, or it could also show in the business store, or it can be deployed as a package that companies can deploy using MDM software. So that's the whole flow that you need to follow to be able to get an app into the store. So let's talk about the first step, DevCenter. DevCenter is the web portal. You can access it through dev.windows.com. And within this portal, you have access to all your apps, and you can figure out the status and configuration for each of them. Not only that, you can also submit new apps and games. You can update each of them. You can change the price, change the configuration, make it hidden, make it available, deploy it to more companies. You can then also analyze what's going on. Have you had some purchases, some acquisitions? Are you receiving lots of reviews? Is your app seeing a lot of crashes? Let me see the crashes. So it lets you analyze the performance of all your apps. It lets you monetize. So it lets you set the price and figure out how much money you're making for all your apps. And it has other additional capabilities to help you promote, and then, of course, everything about getting paid. And there's a lot more that you can do here. You can have multi-users. You can have notifications that tell you about certain things that are happening in your apps. You can do analytics, very in-depth analytics of all your portfolio of apps. So it's a very comprehensive portal. Take a look at it in dev.windows.com. That's the first step you need to do, just get an account. So the last part you have to do is to configure the store listings. The store listings is what the consumers or the businesses see in the store to understand what your app does. So let's take a look at the store. Here's the store looks for consumers. It looks very similar for businesses. It looks very similar for Surface Hub. It just has different applications. Let's click on one of them. Here is a video. Here's the name, the icon, You can see the pricing here. You can see the screenshots. You can see a description. You can see what is new in this version, features, system requirements. All of those are things that you as a publisher configure here within the store listings. All of that will end up showing both in the consumer and the business store. So once you finish configuration all the store listings, you have to click submit. And then the app goes into certification, validation, make sure that technically it's running. And once it's signed and it's submitted to the store, a few hours later, it's available for consumers and for companies to acquire it, download, and install it. But I'm going to drill down on some specific areas that I think are very important for you that are planning to submit through for Serverless Hub. During this submission process, you'll get to a screen where you have to define which devices your app is targeting to. You can target Windows 10 desktop, mobile, Xbox, holographic, and let Microsoft decide other devices that it might be deployed to. If you are targeting Surface, you have to make sure you choose Windows 10 desktop and let Microsoft decide to also deploy to Surface Hub. So these are the two options that you have to select for your UWP app if you're targeting Surface Hub. Of course, you can also then add other packages. So let's take an example here of an app that has 8 different packages. It has a few packages for Windows Mobile and also for Windows Phone. They have several packages for Windows 8, and there's one UWP for Xbox. You would have to create a package that targets Windows 10 desktop, and that's the way you would be able to deploy to Windows 10. And you can then see which packages are targeting which. So you can start targeting Surface, but don't stop there. You can also deploy the same UWP to other devices, or you can add other packages that are tailored for other devices. So now that you're building your app, don't stop in one device. Make sure you take advantage of this UWP platform to make your app more accessible to more different users, consumers, businesses. So as I mentioned before, during all your configuration, you have to configure the store listings. So with the product name that you define, you need to set up the description, the screenshot, video trailers, icons, keywords, copyright, version notes. All of that gets configured here and then gets submitted into the store. Another very important step during your configuration, if you're going to be targeting Surface Hub, is choosing the right organizational licensing configuration. So by default, your app will go to the consumer store. But if what you want in the case of Surface Hub is to be able to select offline managed licensing and distribution, this is the checkbox you need to configure to allow companies to get your package and then deploy it to the different Surface Hub devices. The online option is checked in by default and allows customers, business customers, to get the app and distribute it to the business store. But in the case of Surface Hub, this is the key configuration that you need to allow companies to get the package. Make sure you don't forget that. So now finalizing, you configure the listing, the properties, the packages, targeting, Surface Hub, you submitted the binaries, all your submission is ready, you submit it, and then the store does several types of tests to make sure that what you submitted actually will work. So there's some automated tests. For example, it just runs it, make sure it technically runs, it doesn't have viruses, it has the appropriate text and images. And then in some cases, if you have some special keywords that might trigger some alerts, it goes to manual validation. So at the end, we have very clean content in the store that both consumers and users will be able to use and enjoy. So once you do all that, as I mentioned before, the store will appear, the store will show for consumers the app that has everything that you configure, and this is an example of a game, for example. And in the case of Surface Hub, it will show a different configuration, the same app, but it will show the more appropriate apps that are usable for Surface Hub. So this is a typical screenshot of the Surface Hub store as users log in and we are able to see it, and in this case, the administrators can go in and install any of those apps. So you see it's a single place dev center where you submit, and then it can be distributed to multiple places. So this is just a little bit of overview of the whole process and some key steps you need to deploy for Surface Hub. But again, remember you are able to submit to multiple devices, and you can learn more about Dev Center. You can learn more about what recent features we've added to the store, specifically about the store for business, how it works, which companies are getting it, You can follow us on the blog and learn every new feature that we come up every single month. And then as you're planning specifically for Surface Hub, make sure you read this article that has all the details on configuration and submission and planning and some caveats. So with this, I think you have an overview of what you need to do to get your app into the store. Thank you very much.
Hi there, I'm Jordan Marchese, Program Manager on Surface Hub, and I'm here today to talk to you about app deployment and management for the IT admins. So the main focus we're going to have in this this topic is, once you have your app and it's been pushed up to one of the stores, how do you then take that app, be able to download its AppX, its app package, and then be able to take that and deploy that out to your one-to-end different Surface Hubs. Once it's out there, then how do you manage it from there? So the first thing you have to do is, as I said, once you have it up, you need to be able to download this app package, so then you can go through with this distribution. A quick reminder from Bernardo's topic earlier that all Surface Hub app packages need to be offline licensed, otherwise you will not be able to deploy them either remotely or via the USB option we will talk about in a second. So I'm going to walk you through the steps for how you're able to get that package and then be able to distribute it. The first step is you go to the Microsoft Store for Business and you sign in up in the corner. Once you've signed in, you'll be able to go up to the little hamburger icon and move over to Manage, and there's the apps and software. And once you're inside of here, it will tell you every single app that is available to your organization. However, since Service Hub only supports the offline licensed apps, we're gonna make our filter here go down to only the offline license. So now you'll be able to see all the different apps for your organization you'll be able to push out to your hub. From here, then we want to be able to initiate the, you know, hey, locate the app that you want. In this case, I'm using the Mail and Calendar app, and we'll tag it for download for offline license. Once you click on there and you scroll down a little bit, you'll be able to choose which architecture you're going to end up deploying to, and you'll just click download, and your AppX will now be downloaded onto your IT admin's box. The final step is that there's two different ways we can encode these AppXs. One is, so the first one, which you need the encoded license for, is if you're going to use your MDM provider, mobile device management, in order to remotely deploy your apps to Surface Hub. In this case, you need the encoded license. Otherwise, you would use the unencoded if you're going to use the more PBKG local distribution. And so now I'm going to talk through what each of those are and how you're able to do it. So the first recommended way for deploying apps to a Surface Hub is to use your MDM provider. There's MDM providers such as Intune, Mobile Iron Air Watch, and a few others that you'll be able to take this AppX and then be able to push it remotely to each of your Surface Hubs. I'm not going to walk through the steps on how you were able to do that, because each of them has different ways of being able to push this down, but just use your MDM provider to figure out how you're able to push these down remotely. This will allow you as an IT admin to avoid having to send someone physically to each device in order to decide, okay, here's a new app that I want to place onto this hub. The second option is to use the provisioning packages, also known as PPKG. And what this is you basically build a package and you place this onto a USB stick. Now, this package can contain other types of admin settings, etc., but you can also just place an app that you would like onto this device. And once you have that, you'll have a PPKG on a USB stick. And from here, you're able to walk up to any Surface Hub, plug it in, go into your settings app, and apply this. Now you will have now the app will be on that device and it will be good to go. Regardless of which option you end up picking, once the app is on the device, it'll start updating automatically as long as you have internet connectivity. And so from here, you know, you'll get the new any new updates that are published to the store onto your device. Right now, I'm going to switch over to quickly show you how you're able to create one of these PPKGs in case you need to use it. So. All right, so I've loaded up the WCD tool, Windows Configuration Designer, formerly ICD, which we use for creating all of these AppX packages. One of the first things you'll notice is we have the provision Service Hub devices, and I can give it a name. In this case, we'll call it. Now I'm able to start creating my new PPKG. As soon as this loads up, you'll see, you know, the list, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of other settings you can place into one of these PPKG files, from add certificates, configuration proxy settings, etc. But the one that we care about right here is our adding applications. And so once you've basically done this, it'll say, hey, which of these do you want to do? You'll be able to type in the name of it. So in the example, I was using the mail, I believe it's the Outlook mail. And then from here, I would be able to browse and select the app package that I had downloaded. Once I've selected my app package and I select next, it'll create this local PPKG file. I stick it onto a USB drive and I'm able to walk around and be able to apply this manually to each of my hubs. I'm gonna switch back to presentation. So then, you know, to wrap up from here, we talked about, you know, how do you go about installing each of these apps, or how do we use either an MDM provider or a local PPKG to install the apps, as well as, you know, how can we go through creating these provisioning packages. This resource will explain in a lot more detail for both apps and other settings as well. You can focus in on just the application piece as well.